So much of gardening is about control, where a plant goes, where a weed doesn't go. But there's a new trend out there that kind of throws all that to the wind, literally. It's called chaos gardening. And we're going to take a look at it today on Garden Talk. I'm Jill Nadeau, and this is the WPR News Network. With us to help explain chaos gardening is Sally McCabe. She is an Associate Director of Community Education with the Pennsylvania Horticulture Society. Have you heard of this method of gardening? What do you think about losing a bit of control over your garden? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Sally, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd heard about this in some blog that I was reading, and I'm like, what the heck is that? And so I thought I'd do a little Googling just to find out what I could. And there's not a lot out there, but you wrote an article 2 years ago. So obviously you are on the tipping point.
I must be an expert.
You must be
an expert.
So how did you hear about this chaos gardening thing?
It's funny because it's all lies.
It's all what?
It's all lies. It's all lies.
Well, okay, bye. Thanks.
Okay, bye. No, honestly, chaos, they're calling it chaos gardening, but the finished product looks an awful lot like an English cottage garden or a meadow garden or
kind of a native garden.
And there are rules that you have to follow. I mean, okay, somebody gave me a little off-color analogy the other day about it. They said, chaos gardening is like raising children. It's fun in the making, but then you have to think about the, you know, feeding them in the college and the money and all of the stuff further down the line. So, and I thought about it and I thought, well, yeah, it's a lot like that. I mean, chaos gardening, the philosophy behind chaos gardening is to just throw it and let nature sort it out.
Right.
And that does work for a lot of plants. But what happens is if you're doing it in the vegetable garden, I mean, it's fun. It's really fun to do with kids. And actually, it's fun to do with adults, too. You take all of the seeds that fell to the bottom of your seed storage box or wherever you keep your seeds, your half packs of seeds, because they always, or the mice got in or something. And you've got this pile of seeds in the bottom. And for me, it's their food gardening, vegetable seeds. And if I've got a patch of something, I can just randomly throw those seeds in and let God sort them out. So what happens, and you can do that, you can buy chaos seed mixes, which are just what, you know, wildflower mixes, or it's mostly, unless you're buying them from somebody that's really into the mixes, you're just going to get a little bit of everything that was left over. And it is stuff that may not be suitable. I was listening to the tail end of Mike speaking, and he said the stuff growing where you live, it's best to buy the stuff that grows near where you live and not from far away, because it's got to be able to stand your summers, your winters.
Right.
So you're buying this meadow mix. It's made in California, and it's got beautiful stuff in it that is great in California, but might not do well in Wisconsin or Pennsylvania where I am. So you're planting these things that are going to get 6 feet tall, along with these things that are going to be 3 feet, 2 feet, 6 inches, and there's no rhyme or reason to where they come up. You're also planting seeds that may germinate immediately. They may not germinate for 3 weeks. They may not germinate for 6 months. So everybody that's ready to germinate right now, boom, they're going to get the jump on everybody else. The stuff that's going to grow tall gets the jump on everybody else because they get tall and they hog up all the sun and the water. And then this little stuff that germinates later, it's the seeds are already taken by the time that comes up. Now, does this mean that all of this sucks? No. It can be incredibly beautiful, but you're calling it chaos gardening, but there are rules that you have to follow.
Sure, sure.
And that's what, I mean, does that take the fun out of it? Well, it could.
Yeah.
And so what you do is you use it as the way to keep the kids happy. You let them just throw seeds anywhere, and then you deal with the fallout later. Because you're gonna.
It is like raising kids then.
It is. It's like raising kids. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You're starting out with you have to. For everybody that gardens, you know what happens when you clear the ground mm-hmm. and you turn the ground, and it's beautiful and it's crumbly and it's ready to go. And if you walk away from it for a week, already weeds are coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Because what you have done in turning the soil over is you've exposed last year's weeds and the year before and the year before and the year before. You've exposed them to light where they've been sitting under the ground waiting for this occasion. So you're going to be fighting weeds.
Sure.
So that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to be, again, competing with who's going to germinate first, who's going to out-germinate the weeds, who's going to out-sun the weeds. I mean, who's going to shade the weeds so that the weeds don't get. So let's start first. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so we talked about kind of pros and cons. So where do we start? I mean, I think you don't just want to throw it into your lawn. You want a clear spot for it, I'm assuming.
I have seen, I'm of a certain age, so I, you know, do TikTok in the night because I don't sleep. And there's a whole crew of people out there doing chaos gardening where they have just grabbed a bag of lentils from the store. You know, food, and just gone and randomly and had lovely lentils grow up, beautiful plants, and not a Pennsylvania crop, but do fine because they were able to outcompete the weeds. But I mean, it's much more fun in the flinging.
Sure,
than in the fall.
Sure. It's the flinging.
Like kids. It's the flinging. It's the flinging that is the joy. So,
So where do we, if we want a little bit more control, where's a good spot? Where do we start?
So we can either start with the soil. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the soil because that's the best place.
Yeah.
You're not going to rototill and then, I mean, you're going to go with what you've got
mm-hmm.
because this is supposed to be low maintenance. This is supposed to be easy. So what you're going to do is maybe if you're using a space that's got a lot of weeds, you mow the weeds real low and then you rough up the soil with a rake.
Okay.
So you're just roughing up the surface because you don't want to do this deep digging because it breaks up the soil structure and it also brings up all of the weed seeds that are there from, you know, generations. So throwing some compost down is also a good thing. So you're just preparing the soil lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be really careful about your choice of seeds. If you're buying a mix, make sure you read that with with a magnifying glass, because what happens, I've done this where I've had a patch that I just wanted to do in wildflowers. And I found out there was chicory in the mix, and chicory is a horrible weed here in Pennsylvania. Can't speak for Wisconsin, but here in Pennsylvania, it's a weed. And so what I had was 3 years of pulling out chicory because chicory became the dominant mm-hmm. Wildflower in the mix. I did have some other really pretty stuff, but you have to be really careful. You've got stuff that will really dominate. Calendula will really dominate. Sunflowers will really dominate. Herbs, not so much. So you want to make a nice mix.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about your height first. What are the things that you really like that are tall? Cosmos will also dominate. But it's gorgeous. So who cares? So you want to have like 20% of the really tall stuff. So do your homework.
Okay.
And again, this was supposed to be easy. Why are we having to do homework
yes.
when we can just buy, buy a mix?
Right.
But you want maybe 20% tall stuff.
Okay.
You want 40% middle stuff and 40% crawly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest way to do it, And then you want stuff, you want to think about what is the stuff that's going to germinate right away, and what is the stuff that's going to germinate later, and what's the stuff that really takes a long time to germinate. So now, because you're doing your homework and you're laying it all out, you would lay out your things that take a long time to germinate first, and then come back in a week or so and do your middles, and then you do your fasts.
So you get to fling three times rather than
you
once.
You get to fling three times. So I'm lucky. I got three grandkids, so I can have each of them do a fling, you know, at a certain time, a certain week. But the other thing that you want to do is your tall stuff. You don't want to have your tall stuff permeating the whole thing. So right. What you want to do is when you're flinging, you're going to fling in small piles. Here, there. I mean, visualize that you're going to have a big pile of sunflowers and tall things there. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have some tall things there and some tall things there. But you're not going to have tall things, short things, medium things in the whole. You can't see me. I'm on the radio, but I'm waving my arms enthusiastically while I'm doing this flinging. So you want to take your big stuff, your tall stuff, and plant tiny little clumps of it, maybe four or five or six seeds mm-hmm. here and there and thereabouts. Okay. Then you would be, and you're flinging a whole lot less seeds than you would ever think.
Oh.
Because if every one of them comes up, oh my goodness, everything's going to be beautiful. In the first 2 weeks, you're going to have this gorgeous sheen of green where everything germinated and everything came up. But then you look at it and they're barely a half an inch apart, and 1 in 100 is going to survive.
Right.
So you're going to have clumps of dead stuff, rotted stuff, and mm-hmm. then you don't have any airflow. So this flinging has to be with restraint as far as numbers go. So all in all, we're making it harder and harder by imposing all these rules, but ultimately it's going to be gorgeous.
Right.
It's going to be really, really beautiful and chaotic in more orderly, but it's not going to be, I mean, okay. As far as I'm concerned, chaos is anything that's not straight rows. I moved into a house where they planted the daffodils in drill rows in the yard. Like, this is not the way nature intended it. So can you mix perennials and annuals and bulbs and vegetables and all of those things? Sure you can. But you have to think about how fast are they generating? Mm-hmm. How thick are you sowing them? How tall are they going to be? Who's going to shade out what? I mean, if I've got here I am waving my arms again. I've got corn everywhere. And then I've got squash everywhere, and then there's no room for anything else. So you put your little low growing flowers and your herbs around the edges.
Yeah. So we're talking.
So you're not just incorporating. You're incorporating like permaculture rules into
sure,
this.
Yeah.
You're incorporating everything you learned with the master gardeners. You can throw some shrubs in there if you want. The intent is for it to look informal.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to mow less grass. So
we all
if
like
what
that.
You can say is, this is my chaos garden, then you can get away with a lot less. If it's stuff that is coming back year after year and happy with your soil, you barely have to fertilize. So you're cutting down on the fertilizer, you're cutting down on the power needed to mow your. You don't need pesticides. It's more careful than you would want it to be. You would want it to be easy. You want to just throw those children out there and let them raise themselves. And it just doesn't work that way.
So we're talking about organized chaos with Sally McCabe. She is Associate Director of Community Education with the Pennsylvania Horticulture Society. Now, what about watering? I mean, we have to water these things when they start sprouting up, or do we just let them take care of themselves?
Well, this is where it would be nice if you just, you know, let rain take care of itself. But what you have to think about is what makes stuff. If you were growing nothing but black-eyed Susans, what would you have to do with them?
Not much.
If you were growing nothing but sunflowers, what would you have to do? Mm-hmm. If you were growing nothing but each of the different elements, but then think about it. You've got stuff in there that needs no water. You've got stuff out there that needs to be watered weekly. You've got stuff out there that is heavy feeding, pulling all the fertilizer out of the ground. And you've got stuff that's fixing nitrogen in the soil because it's bean related. And it's just sucking the nitrogen down out of the air and putting it in the soil. So you've got what you have set yourself up for is many, many different needs for your children.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got children that are growing, you know, really fast and need to change their clothes you have to get them new shoes every week.
Sure.
And then there are kids that, you know, need absolutely nothing. And
well, we got an email from Isaac. Chaos gardening apparently is his favorite. He started with seedlings and a few single plants in 2020. And after a few years of harvesting the seed heads at the end of the year and spreading the seeds all over, and now the flowers basically choke out the weeds, or at least they cover them up. Very low maintenance. Lots of color. The daylilies like to spread, and he planted sedum and strawberries around the border, which filled in nice, he says, too fun. So we got a convert here.
But look at this is Isaac did a very good job and probably did a lot of homework.
Yes.
Because look at those plants that he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Most of them were planted from plants.
Yes.
I mean, he's got daylilies, he's got strawberries, he's got, you know, he's got stuff that is can come back up itself from its root.
Mm-hmm.
So it's perennial or biennial. Yep. So it's coming back. And stuff that drops seeds, so you get a little bit of variety, not just clonal reproduction.
Sounds beautiful.
So it sounds like, and I would bet that Isaac has not strewn millions and billions of seeds. it's probably done a good job of it. So hats off to you, Isaac.
Yeah,
good
for
job.
Sure. Now, what do you do with...
And it is gorgeous. It's so beautiful to not have... You know, masses of things are, but it's like a smorgasbord.
Yeah, there you go.
Is my favorite meal.
Yes.
So it's like that.
There you go. What do you do if, you know, you're in a city, you know, what do you do? And your neighbors complain and say, what's with this mess that you have in your front yard?
We encounter that all the time. And what we have suggested, first thing I suggest is mow the edges and mow a path through the middle, because then it becomes intentional. You've got a pathway, and it's not just everything got out of control. Because, I mean, we've got a lot of cities have 12-inch, you know, it's like your plants can't be any higher than 12 inches. And it's generally not, they're not dry, they're not weed police.
Mm-hmm.
The neighbors complained.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you need to make sure that you are constantly picking bouquets and giving them to your neighbors, sharing the bounty with your neighbors. You got to keep your neighbors happy, because this is something that is not the norm,
right,
in an HOA.
Mm-hmm. And there are a few people
the
that.
Other thing, yeah. Yeah. The other thing that we suggest at the Horse Society is to get involved with one of the like national wildlife, so that you know that the things that you're sowing in your chaos garden are of a help to pollinators. So you want to keep the bees and the birds happy, and you can get certified as a wildlife habitat and get that sign prominently displayed on your HOA.
Mm-hmm.
So so that you're not getting ticketed for having a weedy front yard. Right now, I mean, I have the really tall goldenrod, which is supposed to be the absolute most attractive to the biggest number of pollinators, according to our master gardeners here in Pennsylvania. But it takes up a lot of real estate before it blooms in the middle of September. So right now, it just looks like horrible weeds are sticking up out of my front bank. So what I have to do is I trim them, not shorter, but I trim the edges of them so that they're only coming out in circles or squares. So they are not as natural looking coming up here and there and everywhere. I'm cutting them back so that they look intentional. So even though it's very chaotic, there's intentionality in it to keep the neighbors happy.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. I noticed even coming in today that there's some people who I'm sure they started out as native prairie gardens in their front yard and aprons, and now they're all pretty much 100% weeds. So, you know, and they're taking
and
advantage.
Weeds are pretty, but they're, you they're can't not... get them to bloom on
no,
schedule.
I mean,
So that's why I say get mow some paths through it. Make it look intentional.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is hard once the weeds get.
They take
over.
Especially
if you planted them accidentally.
I mean,
we have gout weed here. Gout weed is our agapodium.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible, horrible.
It
and
is.
It kills everything else, but it's beautiful.
It is pretty. That's why it got planted.
One week in the spring when it's all white flowers and it's really pretty, but it tends to kill off everything. So,
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that.
So, I mean, there have been times when I have considered weed killering the whole thing.
It's and so starting tempting, over,
which
it?
I don't encourage anybody to do.
No, we don't.
It's
a lot of work.
It's frustrating if, you know, you're going for moderate chaos and then it starts to come in and strangle you in your sleep. It's not. It's scary.
It's very scary.
It's scary.
Well, I mean, it really does just sound like a kind of a different way of talking about native gardening and, like you said, English country gardening. So, yes, it's chaotic, but yes, you still need to use a little control on it, a little thought behind it, little organization, and you're going to come up with something really gorgeous. And it's worth it, right?
Great. Here's a clue for me of what I wanted to plant in mine. I do a lot of driving from my job because we go from garden to garden.
Okay.
And one summer I wrote down everything that was blooming that was pretty. And then I made a concerted effort in the fall and in the spring to find those things and incorporate enough of those that when all the iris bloomed, it would be impactful in the chaos. And when all of the asters bloom, there would be enough of them scattered through the site that it would make an impact, or that I grouped them together so I would get a splash of purple, splash of blue, a splash of yellow, so that at least one piece of this chaos, this weed thing, looked intentional and pretty.
Yeah.
Because again, you gotta keep the neighbors happy.
Exactly. Well, we only have a couple minutes left, but could you tell us a little bit about the Pennsylvania Horticulture Society? You guys are doing some really cool things.
We are the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I can honestly say that because I've been with the group now since before your mother was born. And I work with the community gardening program. And we work with about 400 community gardens scattered around Philadelphia. And we work with maybe 200 of them. We don't own any of them. We don't run any of them. Mm-hmm. But the people that I get to meet who garden are gardeners are a certain kind of people, and they're the best
yes,
kind of people.
Yes.
So the fact that we run the biggest indoor flower show in the world, and we are able to take any supplies that are left over from there and money that we make on there and put it back into the community. So we have a tree program, a public landscape program, community gardens. I said trees already. We do workforce development. We do land care on vacant lots around the city. So we take... We do it all.
I've been
and
wanting
we don't
to
own any of it.
Yes.
So it's like we are more the enablers than the doers.
Oh, that's just wonderful.
And that's why I stick with it.
Yeah, the flower show has been on my bucket list forever, and one of these days I'm going to get there. So.
Super.
Yes. Thank you so much, Sally.
I know it's so fun. I get you.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. It has been a pleasure and a joy to talk with you today. And
this has been fun.
We'll hopefully have you back again. Thank you so much.
All right. I will come back anytime.
All right. Sally
Thanks
McCabe
so
is an associate or the so is an associate director of the community education of with the Pennsylvania Horticulture Society. Thank you so much for being with us today.